right there with you, and I don't know if I would want to do the over-the-road stuff, the long distance. I wouldn't mind doing it once, maybe taking a trip just to say I did it, but I would not want to do it for a living. And I enjoy it, too. I enjoy the truck and being able to drive it. Of course, these new vehicles, so much has changed on them now. They're practically like cars. You know, if you get in and just flip a switch or push a button for D and go, as long as you know, if you know what you're doing with all the airlines and all that. But they've got so much computer control on them. And in fact, I was at the post office in Easley, and I was pulling out, and I had to kind of cut it close to the fence line to make the turn because the gates were knocked down. Somebody hit the gates. And it's got this collision sensor on the front of the vehicle. And it slammed on the brakes for me, which I didn't want to. I wasn't going to hit anything. I was just moving. I wasn't even going fast, but it hit the brakes on me and about shut the engine down. Scared me half to death. And it'll do that down in Atlanta. It'll pick up a sign over the road. I'm going down the interstate at 65 miles an hour there on 285. Go under this metal sign over the road, and the big warning, red warning box comes up on the display and says collision, and the brakes, you know, puts the brakes on, and it'll wake you up really quickly. I just don't like that.
I can't either. You know, my brother-in-law, he's got a... His car is a Cadillac CTS, I don't know what it is. It's a nice automobile, but he lives up off 290. And, he'll be riding down 290, and there'll be a car making a turn. We'll say a left turn in front of him, so they're waiting on traffic to clear so they can turn. And his car will put on brakes. And I said, nope, I ain't going to have one that does that. Not if I can get out of it. I know it's probably going to that, but if it puts on brakes like that, you know, it could cause somebody to rear end me, them not paying attention, and they don't see anything in the road in front of me, and they go, why in the world is this idiot slamming on brakes?
You're right, and, you know, these younger drivers, that's all they know. They kind of rely on that kind of stuff, and I don't think it's going to be good long-term about that. And I had a comment back to when you said digging a pit where you could back a trailer over it and walk down some steps to get under it. You know, as soon as somebody dug a pit for a trailer to drive over it, somebody would drop that trailer right into the pit or drop one side of it in there. So that's probably a good reason not to do it.
Right. I don't know if they've changed it or not. It used to be up there at the TA, up there at, in Duncan. If you go over to pull up on the CAT scales, if you pulled up on there crooked, it had a big hump up there. You could drop the side of your trailer off right there. And I have seen people do that, just pulling up on the scales. And you would think, well, you know, you got this big parking lot. You can pull right straight up on that and not have to twist it around. Why would you put yourself in that position where you might drop your trailer off the side of it? But, you know, these people get in a hurry, and people are tired and irritated and who knows what. My daddy told me when I first started driving a truck, he said, I'm going to give you a couple of pieces of advice. He said, if you get tired, pull over and lay your head across the wheel. Or if you got a bump, crawl back there and lay down if you have to. He said, the people would rather get their freight than have it a little late than they would not get it at all. He said, that's number one. And number two, he said, if you ever get pulled over by a patrolman, whether it be city or county or highway or whatever, he said, you be nice to that man or lady. He said, because you don't know how they were treated to stop before you. He said, and you don't know what kind of day they're having, so you be nice to them. And he said, most of the time, he said, you'll come out to the good.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good advice. And There's been quite a few nights in the last 2 years I've pulled over and laid down for about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, especially when I first started, just trying to make sure I'd, you know, was safe on the road. Because it's amazing how it'll sneak up on you, and all of a sudden you're sleeper than you've ever been before, and you don't know where it came from. It just creeps up all of a sudden. And you're right about the being nice to the officers, and that relates to, you know, driving around in your personal vehicle too. I don't understand why people try to argue with them, try to make a big deal. Just be nice. They're doing their job, and you know, a lot of times if you're nice and polite, they'll either let you go with a warning or, you know, whatever. It just makes it a lot easier. You're right about that.
We learn things as we go along, and like I said, my dad drove a truck long, long time ago. When I started driving, we didn't have power steering and all the amenities they've got out there in these trucks now. And I was talking to a couple of folks, and they said, you know, you can't hardly even a special order a straight drive truck anymore. And I said, well, you know, I've driven both. I've driven automatics and I've driven straight drives and all of them. I had seven forwards. I was the least number of gears that I had, and 15 was the most I had. I had fewer out there with 18s, but I drove a 15, and which was enough. But I personally would rather drive a straight drive, especially in the winter time. You know, you get on icy and slippery roads, you can go up to a higher gear on a straight drive and lug the engine down a little bit, but it puts more torque on the road. And, you know, with automatic, you can't control that as much. Now, the ones that we had, the last ones that I drove, was we had some Volvos automatics, and those you could select. I mean, you could change the gears yourself, but you were just pushing a button. You know, they could do that, or you could just put it in drive and just go. But I tell you, changed a lot since I've been out of it, and you know, I hadn't been retired that long.
The new vehicles we get are all automatics. We still have a couple of stick shifts that are in our building. I've been driving an automatic Freightliner at nighttime, but that one's not available for my day route, so I grabbed an old Mac, which has still got a 10-speed in it, which I prefer, especially backing up. It's a lot easier to just ease the clutch out instead of trying to feather the accelerator, because some of those Kenworths we have do not back up very well. They're very clunky, and as soon as you let off the accelerator, the transmission disengages. So you have to touch it again, and then it takes a minute to engage, and then it jumps on you. And if it jumps when you're really close to the dock, you're going to slam into it.
You talk about that, I've done that. There is an adjustment on that, if you could get the mechanics to do it. Don't know that you could get it to do it. But y'all, you pretty much drive the same truck all the time unless it's broke down. But when you're not in it, somebody else is in it, right?
Most of them are used, all of them are used every night. And then some of them are used during the daytime. So some of them sit, but during the daytime, but I kind of have my choice of ones. I try to get one that is available all day because people start at different times, and I hate being in a truck and having to stop and get out and change trucks, you know, in the middle of what I'm doing. So I try to find one that the guy's already back before I get there, and he doesn't start until after I'm gone.
When I was running LTL from Nashville to Chicago, I'd drive up, you know, leave at 8 o'clock at night, you know, we'll say Monday night, be in Chicago Tuesday morning by 5, and then supposedly leave Tuesday night from Chicago going back to Nashville. But I'd go to the motel or the hotel, and where I had a room, and I'd go to bed, and somebody from the terminal would come up, bring a driver up, and he would get my truck, and he would run it during the day up there in Chicago, and on up into Wisconsin, up towards Green Bay, and up through there. And then he was supposed to be back by 8 o'clock so I could get my load and head back to Nashville. Well, that didn't always work out. The third trip from the last one that I made up there, going up from Nashville up to Chicago, I got to leave Chicago at 1 o'clock in the morning. The guy from that had my truck didn't get back until about midnight, and they had to unload his trailer and separate the stuff and put some of it on mine and some of it on other trailers. So he held up some other drivers, not just me, but he held up three or four drivers that were going to other places while we had to wait on him. And come to find out that he was not didn't break down, and he was not taking that much time to make his pickups. After he made his deliveries up there in Wisconsin, he was going to see his girlfriend.
I'm assuming that he didn't keep his job very long after that when they found that out.
He didn't last long at all. But I got called on the carpet by the terminal manager in Nashville. And I looked at him and I said, "Look, buddy," I said, "I'm not trying to be smart or anything, but you call dispatch." I said, "I couldn't leave Chicago to come back with what they had because this guy had my truck." And I said, "They didn't have a truck up there for me to drive." And so he kind of calmed down with me a little bit, but they flat laid that little old boy off, the young man off. I hated that he lost his job. But, you know, when you have thing to do is go and do your job and then go play.
Made mistakes when we were young, and hopefully he learned a lesson so he didn't do that again. But goodness, it does seem strange to me. I guess it makes sense, but that you're not even near your local hub and somebody else is running your tractor. But I guess if you're down for 10 hours or whatever it was then, you weren't using it and it's just sitting there and they might as well use it.
SOS, or then 4ZLK. Well, that's true, you know. I mean, I didn't mind them. I didn't want my truck sitting there for that length of time. You know, because if it's sitting still, it's not making any money. You know, as long as the truck's tires are turning, it's making money. Or at least in most cases, I'll put it that way. But if it's sitting still, you know it's not making any money. That's one thing that surprised me when I went to work for the place I was working over at DMX when I retired 7 years ago. They assigned trucks. You know, everybody had an assigned truck. You drove your truck unless something was wrong with it. And if it was in the shop, you would drive somebody else's that was off for the day or on vacation or something of this nature. But for the most part, you didn't slip seat or nothing. You drove the same truck all the time. So you put your stuff in it, put your bed linens in it, and everything else that you might need. And, that was your home, and that's the way the boss man thought about it. I liked that real well, but then I got to thinking, you know, I went on vacation, and my truck sat there, and nobody drove it, and it sat there for a week, and I said, man, that wasn't nothing but a dead expense. You know, had the truck not been paid for already, you know, because it wasn't paying for itself while it sat there.
Sam, that's kind of one thing I like about the way UPS does it is, at least in the small hubs, now down in the large places down in Atlanta, I don't think they get the same tractor. They just get whatever's available. And I don't like that. We get a tractor assigned to the route, so as long as you're on that route, unless it's broken down, you know, you're using that tractor. And I could leave a radio in there. I could leave a little cushion in there, you know. So when I need to lay down across the seats, I can take a little nap. But I could leave my own, trying to clean it out every time I got out because I may not see it again. I do like that about the way it's handled. But daytime, that's why I'm trying to find a tractor that's available and I can just be in it every day, because I don't have a radio in it again right now. Gets kind of lonely out there driving around with no radio.
And so, you know, when I drove for Winn-Dixie years ago, we slip-seated everything. You know, everybody drove a different truck every day. And they tried to give the older drivers the better trucks. You know, the younger drivers, they got the junk. And, I mean, we had some now, let me tell you. But, you know, it's a good thing when you can drive the same truck. But I've done it both ways, you know, slip seating and assigned trucks. Matter of fact, the truck I drove, LTL from Nashville to Chicago, they assigned me that truck. Me and that other young fella that was up in Chicago were the only two people that drove it. So if something went missing out of my truck, you know, I left my radio in there and all of that stuff. I let him use it, and, you know, I told him, I said, now, I've got some stuff here to eat, you know. If you get hungry, reach down there and get you something. But I said, I want you to replenish it. You know, don't just eat out of it and not put anything back. And he did that, and, you know, it was not unusual for him to buy an extra soda or extra bottle of water or something of that nature and stick in the cooler. So, you know, if he drank what I had, he would replace it. And, you know, he would buy ice to put on it to keep stuff cold. So we worked out pretty good with him and I, and then he lost his job. And, of course, I made two more trips, and then I quit because I was getting ready to move back to South Carolina from Nashville. And I was going to, you know, be quitting that job anyway, but anyhow, that's the way it goes. But pledge your own day shift, and we'll see how that works out, right?
I think my wife's happy I'm back home at nighttime. Of course, the last couple nights, they had me do something extra last night, so I didn't get home till almost 10 o'clock. So she was already in bed, and I worked the regular schedule, but she's got to get up early in the morning, so she was already in bed when I got home, so I really haven't seen her that much in the last couple days. But anyway, Gary, I've enjoyed it. I didn't mean to hang out this long, or keep you this long, but thanks for talking. And again, thank you for doing what you do for the net and for the club and for the community. I really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy. Have a good evening. I'm going to let you go and go fix a cup of tea and sit down for a little bit. KI4DOS, N4ZLK. Gary, have a good evening.
Well, you have a good evening. Tell Miss Beth we said hello. Hope y'all will have a good day and get things settled down to where you're able to see a little more of each other. I know you'll enjoy that. And as far as not being able to put a radio in there, get your little magnetic mount antenna, unless the top of your trucks are fiberglass or something, composite material. If it's metal, get your mag mount antenna and an HT. That way you won't be all alone. So maybe that'll help you a little bit. But Shane, I enjoyed it. We'll do it again real soon one of these days. Maybe since you're on this route over this way, we'll be able to get together for lunch one day maybe. I'd enjoy that. If you take care, we'll say 73 for now. N4ZLK, KI4DOS.
Trying to close out the net, correct? N4NLR.
Yeah, N4NLR.
Same place, just sitting here looking like this.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. The net was over kind of quick tonight. I'm closing that out about a quarter till. But good hearing you in there. Hadn't heard you in a while. Well, at least a few days. You doing all right?
Yeah. Yeah, we just got back in late this evening. Took a little trip to see 12 down to Columbia, so we just got back in about 30 minutes ago or so. So I just flipped the radio on just to see if y'all are still carrying on the tradition.
Yes, there, buddy. No doubt in my mind about that. I can submit net reports anytime. And I'll amend that one and add another one to it. And I'm glad y'all had a safe trip down to Columbia and back.
I was listening to you and Shane talk and about doing the truck and driving on the roads. I was working for South Carolina DOT, Department of Transportation, driving a shelf truck. I'm sure y'all probably seen them on the highway. Changed a lot of flat tires and made people happy because we got paid by the state and didn't cost a person that broke down anything to get the tires changed or get a little extra gas. So the only thing about that was it was a long day. We had a 12-hour day usually from about 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening. And goodness knows, time to get off work, they have a bad wreck. And so a lot of times we had to stay out on the road and try to help with traffic if we could.
Had a bad guys out there to drive the chef trucks or did. I don't run up down the interstate like I used to either, Jim. I take a lot of back roads now instead of being on the interstate. But, that's even though you're just helping change tires and maybe carrying a little gas or something of that nature, that's a dangerous job out there on the side of the interstate. I don't care what you're doing.
A lot of people don't realize how dangerous it is, but, you know, you're trying to help a motorist that's broke down and the jack don't work and that they got in the car or something, or they got a jack and they got it jacked up, and they realize this spare tire is already flat before they even put it down. So, yeah, it sort of helps out to have a air compressor on the truck to reinflate that tire. And it was sort of scary out there a little bit. You got people whizzing by you that are 70 miles an hour plus, and here you are sitting within about 3 or 4 foot of them.
Nobody's ever stopped on the side of the interstate. They don't know what it's like. You can feel the rumble in the road when a truck goes by you because of the weight. And the cars, you wouldn't think you'd feel a car the way you do, but you feel that. And the wind, that just whips you around and pushes you this way and that way. And, of course, you know, there's been a lot of people hurt on the side of the road. So it's not a safe place to work at all. You know, you got to be real careful out there. Because there's a lot of folks that don't look out for you. They look out for themselves, and that's all.
Very true. But, anyway, I got lots of handshakes and appreciate this and that and the other. So it was a nice job. It was an exciting job in a roundabout way because we'd get a call saying they needed our help, you know, a certain place on the interstate. So we'd go out there and try to do what we could and so forth. But it was very exciting. And at the end of the day, if I got a couple people off the interstate safely and alive, I feel like I've had a good day.
One thing about it too, Jim, your day was not the same thing over and over every day. It was something new every day, pretty much. You may have done it before, but it was somebody else. It wasn't the same people and that sort of thing. So, yeah, the circumstances, the incident may be the same, but the circumstances are always a little different. So that made it a little more bearable, I would think.
And the state eventually did. They probably had it in the works, but it took them a while to get it done. But they had signs saying on the side of the road, if you see a a fire truck, EMS unit, or a record truck, you know, on the shoulder. They got a sign saying, you know, on the side of the road saying, move over so you don't crowd them, which I think is a good idea. It took a long time for them to get that sign posted up down the interstate, but people don't realize that they're supposed to move over, but hopefully people will eventually learn what they need to do out there.
To think about move over and slow down. You know, when you're thinking about getting from point A to point B, all you want to do is go. And you see somebody that's stranded on the side of the road, you don't think twice about it. You just go on by them. But I'm glad that they finally did that. And you know, they're there for a while. I guess they're still doing it if a highway patrolman is up there with the EMS or fire trucks or whatever, if somebody doesn't slow down or get over, if they can, safely. You know, I mean, we don't expect everybody to just cut somebody else off just to get over a notch. But if you get over and safely, get over and slow down a little bit, the people on the shoulder really appreciate that. And, you know, there have been some tickets written for people not doing just that, you know. They couldn't get over, so instead of slowing down, they just keep their speed up and go flying on by. So, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing either. But anyway, you know, what they say, Jim, common sense ain't common anymore.
Common sense went out the back door, I guess, sometime along the line. Well, people don't realize it anymore, but since the news media don't carry on like they used to about getting in touch with us, I mean, a lot of people don't realize all we got to do is hit a star HP on the cell phone and get the highway patrol dispatcher and let them know what's going on, whether they need gas or have a bad wreck somewhere or whatever the situation might be. They don't need to know who to call. So the news media used to put stuff out saying how they get in contact with them. So they probably ought to restart that somewhere along the line. But I'm retired from the state, so I missed the job, but I'm glad I'm out of it. That makes sense.
Perfect sense to me. It's like I was telling Shane earlier. You know, people have asked me if I miss driving, and I said, well, you know, I miss my big truck, but I don't miss the traffic.
And, well, I tell you, I'm glad I'm out of that shelf program now. I mean, I enjoyed it, believe me, I did, and I got all kinds of great comments. They gave us little postcards that we give the whoever we helped out on the side of the road, and I got lots of nice cards saying how much they appreciated, you know, us helping them out. So, well, anyway, I guess you've been on here a while, Gary. I won't hold you up. I know you're ready to go get a glass of tea or a cup of coffee, maybe. But anyway, I'll just chime in here for a minute or two and say howdy, howdy. So you have a good night, and we'll holler at you later on. N4NLR. Good night, Gary.
Good night to you, and you take care. Glad y'all had a good time down there in Columbia. Appreciate you coming in there and hollering at me. I'll amend my net report. That'll give me one more for the total count, and which is always good. And y'all take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it, Jim. We'll do it again soon, I hope. 73, N4NLR, KI4DOS. You got room for one more, K4ROW. You know, I always got room for you, Richard. Thank you. ROW out, K4ROW clear. Back here, thanks for coming in here. You bumped my numbers up to 55 tonight, so you and Jim. All our numbers go from here, they go on up the line somewhere. And the FCC is watching our numbers, you know. We've had one of the longest running nets in the country on 2 meters, we want to keep it that way. And you folks out there in radio land want to make the net. So, Richard, y'all take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. K4RO, WKI4DOS. Thank you for being there.